Offer or no offer on eBay listings? Today, hopefully we're going to answer that question or at least give some sound advice on it. And then also later on in the show, we are going to be looking over some of the comments from the Facebook group, Selling on eBay Tips. Now, you guys haven't gone over there. The comment section is just kind of crazy and out of control. So we wanted to kind of bring some of those out in, you guys seemed to enjoy the last episode that we did on social media trolls. So we're also going to try to get through some of those comments and see if we can get a little bit of laugh out of them. And with me today is...
I'm Jen, and I love watching Facebook groups for all the juicy comments, even if they're helpful or not.
What was that face for? Wow. All right. So let's chat a little bit about offers, Jen. Okay. How have you been doing with offers on your eBay on the Tupperware?
I do not find them to be overly annoying.
I guess we should ask, do you have offers on the Tupperware?
I have offers on every listing. Yes.
Every single listing?
Every single listing. Maybe there could be an exception or two.
But according to these comments, we're dumb if we have offers.
I know. I don't feel dumb. Do you feel dumb?
I don't feel dumb. I don't feel too dumb either. But no, we talked about that it actually generates more of the algorithm, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, that's what we're led to believe, that it helps the algorithm.
Well, the whole point, eBay wants you on their website. So
doesn't make sense.
If you allow offers, that means that you are selling more, which means that eBay gets paid more, right?
Yeah, for sure. But there's some people who have some contradictory advice to that. So
yeah.
Who are we to believe? There's so much information out on the internet.
I think it goes to everybody's personal choice. Like a lot of people are making good sense that they don't have offers on, and then they just they don't have to deal with the repetitive lowball offers, which we've dealt with.
We've had a few. I wouldn't say that it feels egregious.
Right. Neither would I. But it kind of goes along the same lines of free shipping or calculated shipping. God, I can't think of the word.
Well, whether the buyer or the seller pays shipping.
Calculated shipping.
Yeah, or flat rate shipping. Yeah. Some people do flat rate.
The word that eBay uses is calculated shipping.
Calculated shipping, yes.
But it can be kind of subjective, I think. But sure. I think that allowing offers on, like we talked about, it generates the algorithm a little bit better. And it shows that, like, so if I'm looking for something on eBay, I'm looking for a deal on eBay. And if I see something at $50, but I only have $45 to spend on it, I might just pass up that one that doesn't have offers on it.
Yeah. And then you see advice where people say, gone are the days where people are looking for a good deal on eBay, that they're not out there doing that anymore. So
why? Because resellers have ruined it?
I don't know. It was one of the comments in the thread was the people aren't going to eBay for a rock bottom deal anymore. So
I think that that's kind of our personal opinion on what we're doing and how it works for our business model. So we're still selling. We're still making pretty good money on it. So I'm not going to complain about it. And I don't think we should take offers off. Have you ever been interested in doing auctions though?
No, I've never been. Why? I've never felt tempted to do that. In fact, recently I went to go purchase a shirt. In fact, I think you're wearing the shirt right now. Yeah. Did you change to just because you saw my comment?
No, I wore this all day.
I wanted that shirt and another shirt. And the person, when I was shopping, I thought that they were buy it now. And so I double checked a few things, found out that you wanted them. And I went to go buy it and I couldn't. I couldn't buy it now. And I had to wait. I think it was 7 days, a 7-day auction, just to be the person to win the auction to get the shirts. And if I hadn't really wanted the item specifically, I don't think that I would have waited 7 days to buy it. I would have just gone and found something similar someplace else on the internet, because I felt like it wasted 7 days. Like I could have had the shirts in that amount of time. Like they would have shipped and they would have already been here. But
so what was the price that you're willing to buy it now at?
$29.99 for each one, I believe. Is
that what the bid was at?
It started at $30. And, you know, I don't blame the person because the shirts are expensive shirts. And so maybe they would have had some bidders. Maybe I would have had some competition. I think I was willing to pay up to $40 once I realized that it was an auction and that I was going to have to participate in the bid process if I wanted to get your shirts for you. But I'm telling you, it was off-putting, and I was like, ugh, oh. Now I have to make sure that I'm free and available and that I'm paying mm-hmm. attention on the day that this auction ends. Thankfully, they had it ending on a Sunday, so I was, you know, I had free time that day, but I didn't enjoy the process as a shopper at all. And I think more and more people are moving to a philosophy of going online, shopping for the thing that they need, putting it in their cart, checking out for it, and it being shipped to them within a day or two, and then them and it arriving at their house within a week. And so it was just an unnecessary delay. Now,
did you get into a bidding war with anybody? No, though?
I didn't have any competition. And I think, you never know if you're going to have competition. You don't know if someone's going to drive the price up, but you could have easily have lost me as a buyer as a result if you hadn't been the only person that had two of these shirts in your size that I really, really wanted to get. So, you know, it just...
Then it sounds like it paid off for this guy because he knew that you really wanted them, and it made you pay attention to the auction and stick it all the way through.
Yeah, but I would have, if he would have turned on a buy it now, I would have probably been happy to pay a higher price to not have to wait 7 days. Like, mm-hmm. I would have just paid him 40 for each one probably, but he wasn't willing. He wanted to see the auction through, and then there was no competition, so I got them both.
So he actually lost money because you would have paid more money than what you actually paid for.
I probably would have paid
sticking
more.
Sticking around for the auction.
I probably
so would. The auctions might be a good idea for a buyer. Not necessarily always for a seller.
It just depends. I don't know how many people out there feel that way, but I feel like in the age of Amazon Prime, where you can click, ship, and it shows up a few days later, anything beyond that is not as satisfying of an experience. So, but I still gave them good, like, positive feedback or review or whatever.
Yeah, the shirt turned out nice.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Still new with tags, and the price tag was $139 for the shirt. So
pretty expensive. So
getting a good deal on the eBays. I like that. I like new stuff that hasn't been worn. Worn stuff freaks me out.
And the clearance section for that particular brand of the shirt that you got, none of the shirts were on clearance for less than about $80. So really did get a good price on it. Yep. And that's why I was willing to wait through the auction. He didn't lose me on it. But for some things where there's lots of competition, like our items kind of have a fair amount of competition, most of them. So I want people to be able to see it, fall in love with it, and buy it right now.
I think if our things have a lot of competition, an auction might be good.
Oh, well, we could, you know.
Or if you see something with a high viewers, maybe throw that thing up on auction and be like, hey, go ahead and then start it out like some of these comments were saying at 99 cents and see what it goes for.
Good. We could. Right. I'm not real interested in it, but.
I think the big point is that you want to do what works for your business model, but don't be closed-minded enough to try something new. Like,
for sure.
Just because you don't understand how auctions work or don't like the way the auctions work doesn't mean that you shouldn't be somebody that doesn't try to do them, right? You should always step out of your comfort zone and learn something new.
And you can step out of your comfort zone and also learn how to batch edit your listings. It does. There is a little bit of a learning curve with figuring out.
I think you
out,
have to have a store to do
oh,
that.
Oh, well, if you have a store, yes. Oh, yes, of course. But there's a little bit of a learning curve to figuring out how to do that. But once you know how to do it, it makes editing all of your listings or a certain number of your listings much easier. So if you wanted to turn that, make an offer on and off to kind of give it a test run, it doesn't mean opening up every single one of your listings and editing them. You need to learn how to batch modify them.
The only thing that drives me crazy more than subscription fees for things these days, everything has a subscription fee.
Well, that's true.
Right? Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
The only thing that drives me more crazy than that is to having to learn a new program or a new way to do things, because it's like, I get not one person makes every single program in the world, but it's like, if everybody would make some kind of the same format where I didn't have to relearn something new in a different place and a different format and different filter and different this and different that. God, it drives me crazy.
You know what I feel like they should work on are the, like, all of the keypads where you go to pay for things at all the different stores.
Yeah.
That I think every single last one of them should be set up exactly the same. and they're off frequently very different from Are each they? Other.
I've never noticed that.
Yes. And sometimes you have to push like the green button means a certain thing some of them. And you're like, oh, I didn't mean to cancel. I didn't mean to cancel. And they're like, oh, start again. And your cashier's rolling their eyes at you. You know, they're very inconsistent with the way that they work. So I tend to agree with you.
I think I avoid that because I have Apple Pay on my phone and all I have to do is tap my phone to the thing. And it does everything. Like, yeah. I hardly even have to sign anymore because it's such a secure way to pay for things.
As long as they accept it, right?
Yeah, and who doesn't? I mean, literally, our girl that cuts our hair, her phone, she doesn't even have a dongle on the end. It's just her phone. You tap the card to her phone and it takes it.
Very cool.
So technology's come so far. All right, so jumping into the second part of this episode, which is, like Jen was saying, talking about the juicy comments. So first off, we went in, we noticed on the Facebook group, selling on eBay tips, Facebook group, there was a post from Tomas and it was super engaging because it got 139 comments or 193 comments, sorry. And 155 different emojis. So it was laughing or sad or whatever, hearting it, whatever it was. So we took a few of the best comments out of there and kind of I found some good advice on there.
Yeah.
But you had to search.
Well, and it's all mixed. So if you're a new person, who knows what you're supposed to believe?
Yeah.
But I can almost tell when one's going to be juicy. From like the minute that I see it, I'm like, oh, yeah. That one's going to have that's going to be a field day in the comments section.
And the topic was on with just what we're talking about. The poster said something like along the lines of turn off offers. Do not accept offers. Don't take offers. Offers are a huge waste of time and sells. And right there, he knew he was going to generate a lot of comments because. And a lot of the commenters were saying that, oh, this is just somebody seeking attention. And I like to throw weird comments out there like that, too, because I know that they're open-ended. They're not controversial, but they're very opinionated.
There's so many people like, I'm not sure if this is a pro tip or just straight up bad advice. Yeah. Like,
and they did start off the post as it's a pro tip. And that's not a pro tip. That's a judgment call.
I just feel like you're setting yourself up for a mean streak of comments if you call yourself a pro.
Yeah, exactly. Group. I know. We could call ourselves a pro, right? We've only been selling for a year on eBay.
Obvious enough, I would think.
But we're getting paid for it, and that's the definition of a pro is getting paid for a profession that you're doing.
For sure.
All right, so why don't you go ahead with your first comment that you had lined out there?
So Patrick says, like, I'm not sure that this is a pro tip. He says, I have offers on every one of my 2,100 listings and I get nibbles all the time, most of which turn into sales. Bad advice. That was the bad advice part was like a frequently.
Well, Patrick, if you have 2,100 listings, you're going to get nibbles on them because that's a lot of listings.
But part of me, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, I do agree with Patrick. I don't have 2,100 listings, but I do get nibbles all the time, and most of my nibbles, most of them turn into a sale.
Yeah.
I can only think of a few where the person has just straight up just gone away or disappeared.
I remember when we were just first learning, somebody gave us a really lowball offer, and we just declined it and didn't make a counter offer. And they're like, what? No counter offer?
Want a counter?
It was like, it was haggling back and forth, right? Yeah. So some people like to haggle, and they're not trying to be disrespectful and giving you a lowball offer, but they want to go back and forth with you.
And for sure, in some parts, not necessarily in the part of the United States that we live in, but in certain parts of the United States and also in certain parts of the world, haggling is more of a very just common, socially accepted, like they absolutely expect for you to haggle on the price a little bit. And so we don't particularly live in an area where you haggle for prices. It's not super social.
Not in California.
Not here.
But you're from the Midwest. How is it back in the Midwest?
It just depends on the place that you're buying and shopping. But
well, that's how it is in California too.
Yeah,
so
maybe. I don't know.
In the South, they don't just haggle on stuff all the time. It's not a way of life.
I think it's very much more common, especially like yard sales and that type of thing, to ask for a different or a lower price. But even having yard sales here in California, I have rarely had someone ask, would you take this, or would you be willing?
Oh, really? That's my first statement out of my mouth.
I know it's ours, but I'm saying for when we have them, I don't get that question a lot from a lot of people. They just,
you know what that tells you is that you're just a great at pricing your items.
Yeah, maybe. Properly.
You know, 25 cents for everything is kind of a deal.
I do tend to price low for yard sales. I want stuff to go.
Yeah, we want that stuff to go.
And so then, you know, like just moving on, Christina says that, you know, more than half of her sales are coming from buyers who have made an offer and that she's accepted, and she's never had a problem with any of them. I have only had a couple of offers that I have accepted where the person didn't pay. I think it's only happened twice in over a year and a half.
You just triggered a lot of eBay resellers with that right there.
Yeah, I know. I'm spilling the tea. I'm just trying to be juicy. It could just be that I'm lucky, or I have a better, you know.
No, I mean, by eBay not making people pay right away when they accept an offer.
They should. I don't know how they get away with it, because when I make an offer, I have to put in my card information. So yeah. I'm not sure how people are doing that. They are, and I have had a couple of times. But, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It really hasn't, like, put me out that much. It's been at times, it's been a little disappointing, or when people take a very long time to pay. I think I've probably had that more than just simply people not paying for an offer.
It's but pretty annoying.
I find it annoying when someone makes an offer on something on Monday, but they know and they have not communicated that they don't get paid until Friday, and they have no intention of paying until Friday or, you know, Saturday. And I think that that's kind of like, you're going to negotiate for a lower price, but then you're not going to pay right away. That just feels a little like not great for me.
I think that we're a little spoiled, because our genre of reselling in Tupperware, it generates a different type of person, like a different, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a different.
It's just a different customer. What they're shopping for is just
different customer,
less
different class of customer.
Yeah, maybe. And oftentimes I would think that our items lend themselves to being something that you weren't just randomly browsing and kind of just felt spontaneous about buying it. A lot of it, I think you're searching like, oh, I need XYZ for my kitchen, and I'm shopping for it, and here and now I've found it, you know, in our store.
There's a lot of different class categories out there that I'm sure have a lot harder customers out there than what we're running into. Although we have had our fair share.
For sure, for sure.
Give me your next comment that stood out to you.
Amy says that in the Pure Hustle podcast, she overheard those.
Mike and Orlando.
She overheard those guys saying that it improves the listing as a part of the algorithm for eBay. And we have seen that given to us as advice many times over from many different sources and places. So I tend to lean into that being true, but I really don't have any like proof or evidence of that.
Well, the proof and the evidence is pretty simple. It's a business model. So you don't need an MBA to realize that eBay is there to make money. The way that they make money is off percentage fees. Anytime you sell something, they get a cut, right? And they get a cut of a lot of stuff. And so if you ever question if it's a good idea or not, just ask yourself, is this going to make eBay money? And if the answer is no, then it's probably not going to be promoted in the algorithm more. The answer is yes, then it's probably going to be promoted by eBay's algorithm better. Because like anybody else, they want to make their money also. Like promoted listings, are the higher you get higher you promote your listings, the higher up in the search you're going to rank on eBay, because they're going to get a bigger cut out of it. They want you to sell that product for sure. I had to stop listening to Pure Hustle podcast because I was too afraid that we're going to steal their ideas. And I didn't want to do an episode and be like, oh, hey, you know, oh, this is a great title episode. And then Mike and Orlando are like, hey, what are you guys doing over there? We want to be friends with them. We don't want to be on the bad side. But I love their podcast.
Yeah.
They're great guys.
All right. Moving on to Tom's comment. Tom says, turn off offers. It only guarantees
So he agrees with Tomas's comment.
Yeah. Tom.
And his name is Tom.
Tom,
right. Do you think Tom is like, what would you call it? What do you call it when somebody like impersonates another person on?
They have multiple accounts or something?
Yeah,
I don't think
it's phishing, but
I don't know. But Tom says you won't get full price since there's nothing for the buyer to use. There's nothing for the buyer to lose by making an offer, make it your offer lower. And it says, I don't have it on any of my listings. I do have everything marked 20% above the bottom line so that I can do send offers as I wish. And on those, I don't allow counter offers. Well, to Tom, I would say I have make an offer turned on for every single one of my listings. And I receive people going straight through the purchase process all the time, every single week. I have lots and lots and lots of people buying without making an offer. Maybe even so much as half or more of the people are just not messing with it. Because again, I think a lot of people just want to get the chore done. It's not like they don't enjoy the haggling process. So
no, I agree with you 100% on that one, because we have seen that they go straight to buy it, the buy it price, and they don't even deal with making us an offer. And I think actually last night we woke up to a couple of, or today we woke up to a couple of offers that were only a dollar below, right?
Very
on some
reasonable.
Of those lids.
For sure.
Yeah. So even just taking a dollar off, I mean, I know we want to keep as much profit as we can, but a dollar is no big deal.
Yeah. And if it makes people feel a little bit more excited about the purchase, or they are having fun to do, you know, makes it more pleasurable for them, then by all means.
If $1 is going to be the difference between me making a $14 sale or me losing a $14 sale, I'm going to take the dollar offer.
As long as the only thing I would say is that I usually take just 30 seconds. It's not arduous, but I do check the person's feedback when I get an offer on an item, regardless of how much the offer is off. I'm looking for feedback from other buyers and sellers to see what kind of comments that they're leaving.
This is a horrendous buyer. Don't buy from them. They returned the wrong product.
I'm really looking for like some key things that it would have to be pretty egregious and it would have to really stand out. I sort them. I just tap on it and then I just sort them from the most recent to the oldest. And I probably look through like a good chunk of the most recent ones. And if you have nothing that stands out as glaring to me, then I go ahead with it. But if you have got something that really stands out, then I'm probably not going to interact.
Yeah. Something that we have that's in our favor though, too, is that we know how much we paid for all the products we have, and it's probably dropping as we're selling the things. Cause we originally only thought we bought 500 pieces and we bought a lot more, and it actually turned out to be a lot more. So we know quickly if we can take that offer and still make money on it.
Oh, for sure.
On other stuff, I could see where that could get you in trouble. When we go back to sourcing at yard sales and estate sales and stuff like that, we're going to have to be more diligent about looking back at what we paid for the item. And it gets even harder when, now I'm sure that you notice this, the longer that things sit, like I replace that information in my brain, the longer it sits. So I don't remember. I might think it was a $5 purchase or something like that, and it might have been a $15 purchase. Yeah. So taking that little bit extra time and going back and looking at what you paid for it.
For sure.
On the offers. But I think we're going to, I think for our business model, we'll keep offers on.
Yeah. I can't imagine that.
I would like to find some of the fun stuff. Like we have a microwave that came with the Tupperware. Maybe I'll list that as an auction item because it was extra. He threw it in. It was no big deal. It works, new in box. So just to see how it works, see if it'd be any fun.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. Then we got some other, maybe the gifts, the hostess gifts.
Totally could do that.
Those could be auctions. Those are kind of cool.
Yep.
We really don't care what they go for.
No.
And it doesn't sound like, I don't know if you've looked them up and done comps, but it doesn't sound like a lot of those were real high dollar.
Oh no, they're very like inexpensive little tchotchke things. So
well, I know, but it being a hostess gift, I thought it would have brought more money.
No, I don't think so. But who knows?
All right, sounds good. Well, why don't you tell us what Stacy says?
And then Stacy says that she loves offers, and she is the kind of buyer that doesn't want to wait for an auction to end. Just like me, she said, "I want it ASAP," I agree. And, you know, as much as we can on our end ship things out within 24 hours, we do, because I feel like that is what people want these days. They want the thing.
We're spoiled. Buy it now.
Yeah, buy it now. So, you know, we tend to go with Stacy's.
I recently spent some time with my mom down in Madera, and she didn't realize that there was this kind of a long backstory to it, but it's a backstory. She didn't realize that there was more Hunger Games movies that were out, and she loved the first couple of them. And I was like, well, we were talking about movies, and I said the last one that Jennifer and I went to in the movie theater was Hunger Games, the last one, or like number 4, number 5. And yeah. She's like, there's 5 of them? And so that sent us on a path. She wanted to rent them. And so I go, okay, do you have Amazon Prime or Amazon Video? And she goes, no, I don't. And I'm like, you don't have it. So Amazon Video comes with an Amazon Prime account. So I asked her, do you have Amazon Prime? And just thinking that she didn't realize she had Amazon Video. And she's like, oh no, I don't have Amazon Prime. I don't like buying anything on Amazon. She goes, I want to go into the store. I want to touch it and I want to feel it and I want to try it on and I want to walk out with it that day.
That different generation, right?
Yeah, totally. Because she is a boomer. But it was just interesting to me that there are still people out there. Because you can buy, like, I just bought something on Amazon. It was wrong. I sent it back and it cost me zero money.
Yeah.
Like, other than just a little inconvenience of my time. And it's kind of the same way with the clothes and stuff like that. You can buy them on Amazon and return them with very little to no risk at losing any money on them. So I can see where the point is, but we're a buy it now generation. But I still think that the auctions might have their place. All right, so I say this last one from Joey to comment, and he says, there's no right or wrong. It depends on the item. If I have a $15 item with no best offer and there's multiple other listings of the same item for $15 with best offer, everyone is going to go offer them $14 and overlook you. But if I have a rare, obscure enough item, best offer does make it look like yours is you're unsure of your price. Name of the game is the get it today, sell it tomorrow. I don't have time to be waiting for the full 15 when I can get the $14 now and get it done. Oh, that's really funny because that's exactly what I said in my comment. But I agree with them 100%. If I'm looking at something, they don't have offers and I only want to pay $14 for it, I am going to go with the one that's only $14. But I think this is the spot on answer. I think this is the best answer that I read through all 193 of these comments. And it just depends on you. It depends on the item. It depends on what you're selling, what you're after, what you're comfortable with. You know, you have to sell your own game. So if you're not making money and you're making mistakes, though, I don't know about turning offers on and having free shipping, because those are two of the quickest ways for you to get yourself in trouble.
I can see that. I can see how you could really get yourself into trouble accepting an offer and giving people free shipping.
Because you're really going to have to know what your price is. We could probably get away with it just knowing that what our price per item is that we paid for.
Yeah, but we would probably end up with quite a few bummers. Like at the end of the transaction, we'd go, oh, that was a bummer. Like,
yeah.
I try not to say, oh, bummer too often, you know?
Right. It's not a good business model. But I think that's the best course of action. And I think it was the best comment. And good job, Joey. Way to be a top contributor. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And I really appreciate it. If you have, let us know in the comments what your idea is. Offer or no offer? What should you do? I know it's really subjective, so be nice in the comments, but feel free to leave your comment what you do and why. And if you turn offers off, if you have a good reason behind it, good sound advice, let us know in the comments because we want to share that stuff. We want to give the people the best opportunity for selling on eBay. Some of us have this as an extra income, but some of those of you out there really want to make this your full-time gig. So we want to give them the best advice and the best option that they can to move forward with obtaining that goal. So remember, give us a review down on Apple Podcasts. It really helps generate the algorithm, kind of like eBay's algorithm. And then give us a like over on YouTube if you're watching the YouTube channel. We have got we got probably 170 new subscribers over on YouTube, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot when you're a small channel. So hello to all the new subscribers. We really appreciate you joining. And if you're not subscribed yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and drop a comment down below the video just saying hi. And then, okay, Jen, you ready for, are you ready for the Tupperware update?
I'm always ready for a Tupperware
update. All right. I didn't do a Tupperware update last episode because I think that I wanted to give our listeners a break on Tupperware, but I probably said Tupperware about 50,000 times.
Well, but you had Carl on last time.
I know. And so, we're talking about flipping houses instead of Tupperware. Hmm. But he called me out a couple times, but I thought this wasn't going to be a Tupperware episode. And forgive me for all of you that are out there like, oh my gosh, would these two stop talking about Tupperware?
That's the thing that we have to talk about.
That's our life right now. Although yard sales and estate sales are going to start back up here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And the weather's turning really pretty. Matter of fact, we're both looking at the sunshine outside and like, finish this episode so we can go outside and play.
Many things to do.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So the Tupperware update, as most of you know, but for our new listeners, we bought a storage unit full of Tupperware for $1,900. That was cost of the Tupperware and getting the Tupperware back to our house. So far, we've made $5,401 in sales of the Tupperware so far. So that's averaging $400 every 2 weeks of Tupperware sales.
Amazing.
That's pretty good. So that leaves us with a net profit after eBay fees, after the cost of the purchase and the getting it back here. That leaves us with a profit of $3,501 net profit. And we have sold 312 listings so far since we started listing the first one. And that brings us with an average profit of $11.50, which is up from $11 last 2 weeks ago.
The lids drug our average down a little
bit. It did. It was sitting around 16 and they dropped down to 11, which isn't bad. But that, if you really, I don't want to say this to make you feel bad, but if you break that out, $400 every 2 weeks for a 40-hour week, that only equates to $5 an hour.
Oh, but I'm not working 40 hours. I know. But, yeah.
But that's, I wanted to break that out just to be transparent with everybody. So you may think, oh my gosh, $11 per unit you're making money on? Well, if you break that out into $400 every 2 weeks, it's only $5 an hour.
Yeah. No. And just like any job, the more you work, hopefully, the more you make. And so the amount that we are making is very indicative of the amount that I am working. So, yeah. And it's a side hustle for us. We're not trying to pay all of our bills with this. This is extra. So,
oh, I don't know. You paid a huge bill the other day.
Occasionally you get to pay a huge bill. And so that's nice, you know?
Yeah, that's nice.
So, yeah.
And a little update on that. Jen had a really good idea. She was like, take a paycheck out of the Tupperware account or out of the Pickers account. Cause I was just pulling it out whenever willy nilly. And she had a good idea just to pay yourself once a month and take the money out of the account. What I'm doing is I'm saving 30% for taxes. And then, well, first off, 10% goes for tithing. And then it's 30% goes over for taxes for the end of the year. And I put that into an Apple savings account, which earns a 4.5% interest. So at the end of the year, me saving all that money at the end of the year or quarterly, if that's the way IRS is going to make me want to do it, then I get to keep that interest money instead of somebody else like the government. Paying the government the money and then them paying me back at the end of the year. That means that the government holds my money and incurs interest on there and they keep the interest and then they give me my money back at the end of the year for taxes, tax refunds. So that's just personally what we're doing and it's working out. All right. Now you have listed 103 listings in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I was busy, little girl.
That is pretty darn good.
We have some time off soon where I'm not going to be listing. So, you know, it's just making a big push right now to do quite a few. Get as many up there as I can.
Yeah.
And that's the brilliant thing about eBay is that you can go in waves. So sometimes you'll be really busy and sometimes you won't be really busy. Right. So
exactly. So that's 8.5 listings per day. You've made 8.5 listings per day. That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Because you barely work on Saturday and then you don't work on Sunday at all.
Yeah, usually. I mean, a little, but.
So that's only about 12 days. That's what I did this average on.
Monday is usually the day I work the least.
Oh, really? I figured that would be in the best because I'm out of the house all day on Monday. You're fired. God, finally, that guy is out of here. I can get some work done.
Just my own personal rhythms. I'm doing other tasks and other types of things. And then recently I started working another job outside of the home on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And so, you know, those used to be more productive days for me. And now they're slightly less productive days for me. All but, right. You know, it ebbs and it flows.
Exactly. We had to alter our schedule a little bit. Sometimes I go to the post office Tuesdays and Wednesdays for Jen when I head off to work. All right. Sounds good. Thanks for joining us today. And I didn't have any trivia. Maybe we'll pick it up back up in the next episode. But
perfect.
I had some pretty funny ideas that I thought I'd share with everybody about listing on eBay. So this is sound advice for selling on eBay, according to Facebook. Listings are like online dating profiles, but slightly for used sporks.
Used sporks. We have a spork listed.
Oh, yeah?
It's not used, though.
Well, I just want to recommend yourself. Use the best angles of the spork to get the highest. Write something captivated about the bio and some cheesy pickup line. Shipping is like a ninja challenge course. Pack your items like they're about to survive a zombie apocalypse.
I package things like it's about to be drop kicked across the United States.
That's why I left this one in here, is because you actually pack your stuff really good. And it also, recommends instead of using bubble wrap to use pool noodles, but people use pool noodles all the time for shipping. It's kind of funny.
Wow.
This is supposed to be really silly and humorous stuff.
They're cheap. Why not?
And then let me go back. So you want to be honest in your description, but with a twist.
Be honest, but with a twist?
Yeah. What? Make sure to mention any stains or tears, but spice it up. Instead of large coffee stain on front, write, "This shirt has a unique abstract art feature courtesy of a spilled latte."
That's some creative advertising right there.
Channel your inner magician for shipping. Packing materials are expensive. Bubble wrap is for rookies. Showcase your skills by using old newspaper, leftover birthday balloons, and maybe even some duct taped origami. I love it. And then last one, don't be afraid to get creative with your titles. Let's face it, slightly used spork isn't exactly as riveting. Instead, try something like multi-purpose dining utensil. Slightly used, but still capable of spearing destiny. That's great.
Wow.
All right, fellow pickers, this is we've come to the end. I think we've gotten as far as we can go. So why don't you close us out, Jen?
I don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, you need to.
All right, fellow pickers, go find your treasures one story at a time.
And remember, it isn't reselling if you're listening to people on Facebook on how to resell.